Susan B.
Hey everybody, I'm an addict named Susan.
Hey, Susan.
Hey family. And I was real nervous, man. I was real nervous to speak in front of y'all, you know, because my head was telling me, man, sharing your experience, strength, and hope at your home group is not the same as sharing it here. But you all are my home group tonight. I know that I'm in the right place every time that I walk into a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. Because what I know to be true is that the disease does not discriminate. It wants us all dead. It doesn't matter how old you are, where you come from, who you're associated with, who you are married to, what your degree is. It just wants you dead. So when I came into Narcotics Anonymous, man, I thought, man, that I don't belong here. I was very entitled. I came from a middle-class neighborhood from Waltham, Massachusetts. Can y'all hear I'm from Boston? Representing. I'm from Waltham, Massachusetts, man, and I was born and raised there. And I found out at a very early age that I didn't like me. I didn't like me. I didn't like anything about me. And I was reminded that I was nothing every day so that I wouldn't like me. I had a father who used. He used every day, all the time. And he told everybody, all my siblings except for one brother I have, how unworthy we are to breathe the air on this earth. He told me every day that your eyes, I don't know why your eyes are that color. Everybody in the house has brown eyes. Why are your eyes blue? You don't belong here. Because he didn't trust my mother. He didn't even like her, let alone love her. But one of my brothers has Down syndrome. I don't know if y'all are familiar with that. It's a very special thing. And all the time in my house when people would fight and argue, people would lower their voice when they went to talk to him because they thought somehow someone with that disability doesn't understand hate. Well, we all have a disability. We all are kept back in our mind, and I know that now. So when I was coming up, I used everything that I thought would make me not me anymore. I lived in a very, very diverse neighborhood. I went to diverse schools, and I didn't fit in anywhere. I could sing, and I would sit there with my little hairbrush, and I would sing, and I would sing, and people say, "Why are you trying to sing like you're somebody else? You sound like Adele. Why are you trying to sing Anita Baker? Why are you trying to be somebody else?" I just wanted to sing. And I enjoyed singing, but I tell you what, when you put enough dope in your body, you don't sing anymore. You don't do what you love. You don't paint anymore. You don't write your stories anymore. You dampen the spirit that God gave you. So even though I knew there was some creativity inside me, at one point when I began using, my using got to the point where my mother had two using addicts in her house. She had people threatening. Me and my father were threatening each other with knives, with guns. We hated each other. She had two using addicts rolling downstairs. And one of us ended up having to go. And it wasn't going to be the one paying the mortgage. So off I went, man. My sister lived in Reston, Virginia, and I truly believed that I was getting away from the problem. My father was my problem. She didn't understand that when my brother had various and sundry medical problems and went off to Children's Hospital to save my brother's life, my father would take that as an opportunity to create a situation when I was young where he would say, "See, I'm not the bad guy. Come sit with me. Come talk to me. I love you. Let me show you what love is. Your daddy loves you, but it didn't feel like love." So I know today what love is and what it isn't. I'm real clear on how to hate. I'm real clear on how to hold on to things and really feel like you guys just don't get it. I didn't think that I could survive my emotions in here. 'cause I couldn't survive them then. And who was gonna teach me? Y'all, you didn't know anything about me. So off I came. I came to Reston, Virginia, man. And I knew how to use by the time I got here. I had spent the last 10 years in a house where I was vacant from that house at least 4 to 5 days a week, off using with my road dogs or whoever I thought were my sisters and my friends at the time. And these were the same sisters that allowed me to get into situations I allowed myself. I'm talking about women were standing by and allowed situations to occur and didn't call the police, and I got raped and I got beat up. And I remember this one girl, Sonia, she used to say to me, "Baby, all's fair in love and war." But it's not. So I came here thinking I was going to find a new way of life, man, but God intervened. He saw fit to make sure that I acted out in a way that would get me in trouble right away. See, I was working at a restaurant in Massachusetts. Can y'all tell? I was working in a restaurant, man, and I came all the way down here and I was being Susie Homemaker. My mother asked me to come down to look after my sister because she was having a baby. And I truly didn't think that wherever you go, there you are. I thought if I had a couple cool, like, little 2 weeks under my belt, that I wasn't an addict. Because, you know, there's a point, I don't know about you, maybe I'm the only one, but you get to a point where you know who you are. And you know how sick you are. You just don't know how to ask for help. You don't know where it is and how to get it. But God intervened, man. I started getting real antsy. See, Reston, Virginia is kind of like a hoity-toity place. They're very bougie, right? They got a lot of restaurants there. Reston Town Center has like gold on the streets and the Hilton Hotel that has all sorts of gold in the front lobby. And I used to go there and use my mother's credit card and tip the man a few $100 extra and he'd pay it in cash and off I went. And I remember my first night, man. Man, remember, I'm from here. I'm from Boston. I knew all the streets there, but I didn't know where I was now. I just know I'm fixing to go use. And I get in this cab, and the man looks at me. I said, "Matt, I'm trying to get high. Take me to this D.C. or wherever the hell this place is. I'm trying to go use." This man looked mortified. He said, "Ma'am, you're going to have to get out. I can't do that." I gave him $100. He said, "I can do that. I can do that." Off we went, man. And I would sit there and I would keep going and going and going. And at some point I would wake up-ish and call my sister and beg her for a cab ride home. But first I had to figure out what's the name of the street that I'm standing on because I didn't know where I was. And she would pay $80 to $100 to get a cab to get me back. But eventually she got sick of that and put me in detox, man. And that began my first day in Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm telling you, I was sitting there on the phone, man, in this other room. I'm trying to use this payphone, and where Narcotics Anonymous meeting is going on. I had heard about the other fellowship, but whatever's going on, you know, y'all got an anonymous for everything. So I was like, you know, whatever's going on, I didn't care about that. I just knew I wanted to go home. I missed my mother. But what I didn't know is she didn't miss me. She didn't miss the daughter that I had grown into. So when I called her, I cussed her out. That I called her names that you wouldn't call your worst enemy. And there was a man, he was sitting right next to me, and he was still high. And I was a scumbag even to him. He goes, "Man, you should not cuss your moms out like that. Yo, that's rude, yo." I was a scumbag to him, man. He's like, "Yo, you ain't right. Yo, that's your mother." And I know. That God was with me at that time. So as time went on, man, I kept doing my thing and I kept finding myself where we find ourselves. Detox day after detox day, but it got worse. Every time I'd go back to detox, another violent crime would happen. I'd have more cuts and more bruises and I would lose way more of my soul than I wanted to. Until I got to a point where I looked in the mirror and I didn't like who I saw. And all of a sudden, they get me into this thing called an apartment program, right? I think I'm fancy now. I got me in a little apartment that I'm paying a third of my income for. Whatever little income I had to find me a job first. I'm used to being 26 years old living in my mother's house. I don't work. I waitress once in a while. I get high. That's what I do. And off I went, man. I got me a little job and I got me a little apartment. But the contingency was that you participate in your recovery. And I didn't like that. See, I had this thing called a sponsor, right? A sponsor is someone with a working knowledge of the 12 steps. Somebody help me. A working knowledge of the 12 steps and the 12 concepts and the traditions, right? Not someone that's all cute and looks good and is a convention superstar. But that's what I thought it was, so I went and got me one of those, right? Because y'all women were like, girl, you need a sponsor. Because I was mad. I just wanted to be mad. Those who know me well know that I was just straight mad all the time, right? She knows. She's like, girl, yes. And I was mad all the time, and I would come in, I'd start fist fights in meetings. I thought, man, I was just mad, mad, mad. And I finally got a sponsor, man, and after meetings, I'd congregate with y'all, and y'all would say, who's your sponsor? And I had someone that spoke at main speaker on Saturday night kind of sponsor. I said, my sponsor is blah, blah, blah. They'd be like, what? And I said, girl, yes. Yeah. I never called her. Never even talked to her. And I was crushed. I was crushed when she called me and said, girl, I'm not your sponsor anymore. Who are you calling? I was like, what? Oh, my God. And I just decided I was so hurt, you know, that I just decided that I was going to go use. Because whenever I get mad, I'm like, F you, it's always F me. Always. Because I do that, man. I decide that I don't like that meeting. I said, they ain't talking about nothing in that meeting. And so I go to a nothing meeting and be like, they ain't working on nothing in this area. So I go ahead to another area. They ain't working on nothing in this region. You see what I'm saying? I got F me, right? I'll just, step five in the book says, that my character defects will paint me into a corner that only using, my head says that using will get me out of. If I allow it. But I stayed, man, I got a cool little few first years and 14 years ago on March 25th in 2002, I went to a club with y'all. I had a little bitty clean time under my belt, a little 9 months. I think I'm hot, right? I'm good. I got a little knowledge. Ask me something about the literature, the first of. I know some stuff. Hey, if you got a problem, you should call me because I'll help you. I know what the answer is and what you ought to do about it. Trust me. I had some sponsees, man. I had some women and men. Not men, excuse me. I got some women calling me talking about they want to go use because a dude hurt their feelings. I said, you want to go use and you was fishing in a polluted pond. But man, I'm telling you, I really didn't get this thing, man. I really didn't get it until I started working some steps. Let me say that again. I thought that I was going to come to a 12-step program and not work no 12 steps. At 9 months clean, I went to a club. I had this thing called a sponsor. I didn't even know what a home group was. I probably went to one of the same meetings once a week, but they didn't get to know me because I didn't let them. Too busy fighting. And I go to this club, man, where these women had every intention of just dancing. They were in recovery and they wanted to go dance. I told them that's what I want to do. So they went to this floor and I went to this floor. And I proceeded to use. About 3-4 days later, I woke up in the hospital. I had been kidnapped, gang raped, and almost murdered. And I sat there with this thing in my face, trying to keep my jaw together. And everything hurt so bad. I didn't really know how I got there. I didn't know what was going on. But I'm so different. Well, my different ass wanted to die. And I took this white book, right, with all the ladies' names in it. And I picked up this phone, and I picked it up and I started dialing, man. I'm at this payphone with my ass hanging out. You know that joint you put on and dial with your ass hanging out? And I start dialing. And I say, blah, blah, blah. I'm in the emergency room again. Click. Hey, so-and-so, I know I fucked up, but I need your help. Hello? Hello? I got nothing. But I figured out that if I keep calling, because if you had my drugs, I would call you 40 billion times. So I picked up that phone and I kept dialing and I found someone that came to get me. And someone came to sit with me, man. And that's how it was for me. I could have used over those feelings again. Another violent trauma happened to me, but I didn't. And I just kept going and kept going and kept going. I started doing some service with my angry ass. I fit right in there. I started doing a lot of service, man. The first sponsor I ever had, I met at this thing called Area Service. And I was very, very, very intimidated by women that I thought were sexier than me, which is everybody. And this woman had some leather shorts on, right? It was summer. She looking all fine. She said the F word a lot, so I liked her. And she cussing, and she was up in this Area Service. She's talking about, who's your sponsor? I said, man, I'm looking for one. She's like, I'm your sponsor. And she was. And from that moment on, I stopped shoplifting from home group to home group. I stopped running Susan Products Anonymous, picking and choosing what it is that I wanted to do, and God intervened. And I started working some steps. The first three steps, man, it was not a yes or no process. She wanted to have everyday life events about, look, if she had, step three, are you tired of fruitlessly trying to manipulate and control everything and everybody? I said, yep. She's like, no. You gotta tell me a little more than that. So that's just it, man. As time went on, I kept doing service. CPR CNA 20, I was on that convention committee. Hello, number 20, what's up? 10 whole years ago, man. And I kept going, man, and I started to build some network, and I got some friends. And I started burying some people around here. I had some friends that started to die. When I got 5 years clean, man, I was still such in the process of this thing, taking my time. I was working steps, but I was dragging my feet about it. And all these people came to my five-year celebration, and I was looking for a girl. Go ahead, girl! But people raised their hand, and they said, well, you kept coming back. That's good. I was hoping to hear some good stuff about me, right? Nah. And God told me, girl, you better get to work. Because you cannot use one day at a time and stay clean, right? But if you want a new way of life, you have to change what you're doing. I know today that I think a lot of crazy stuff, but what matters is what I go ahead and do. What my behavior shows. So, I kept going and I kept working the steps, man. I have a home group. I have a sponsor who loves me, who has a sponsor, who has a sponsor. If you don't like something I said tonight, you better call your sponsor. And if you don't have a sponsor, you better get a sponsor. Because I'm not gonna be the one. I'll close by saying this. If you call me, or if some, let me ask you this. If someone calls me, and I done told you to leave that man alone, are you gonna answer the phone for me? If you're showing up late to meetings, and you get on your phone and you texting and you ain't paying attention to nothing, the next time I wanna ride to that very same meeting, are you gonna take me? If I do nothing but really, really be angry and cause problems and say crazy stuff because I don't know how to be a grown up and be a grown woman and go to another woman and say, hey, I'm really sad. Because I was never angry. I was so powerfully sad about so much. I truly believe that if I told every one of you for the next 25 years, you're not gonna get it. That's that terminally unique. I believe that no one in this room gets as sad as I do. You don't get as angry as I do. Don't even try. Don't even come near me. The first time I was here, I want to at least say this one more story and then I'll shut up. I went to a women's rally in D.C., okay? Women do recover, right? And I went to D.C., right? And I'll never forget this woman. Her name was Margie, like another friend I got. And I'm busy being angry. I had my little hot month clean right after that incident, right? And I'm sitting in that meeting. She looked at me just like any other normal human being and smiled. After the meeting, I asked her, what the F was she looking at? And did she want to fight? It was a long journey for me. My first sponsor had to take my phone and she deleted half my numbers. I was so mean and so judgmental and so spiteful. I had a lot of women's numbers, but they were all mean. I had bitch this one, whore that one. He took my number and said, you're such a jerk. You're so mean. I'm like, oh my God, I am not mean. She is a whore. I had a lot of stuff going on, and now I know that all the stuff I have going on, God will never give me something that I cannot handle. I'll close by saying my brother Joseph, right? He has Down syndrome. He has a lot of medical problems. And about a month ago, all the stuff I put him through, he saw everything that I did. He is okay. Thank God they were able to revive him, but he had a massive heart attack and died in my mother's arms. And I know today, I called my sponsor and she said, baby, do not make this about you. Nobody's doing anything to you. You need to be there for your mother. And I was able to do that. And when I called my mother, she said, I'm so glad you called because I know I can trust you. This is the same woman who hung up on me and said, I wish you were never born. You hurt me so bad. So stuff takes time, y'all. It takes some time. It takes some time to figure out who you are and who God wants you to be. I went from living outside in Boston Commons to getting a Bachelor of Arts degree from George Mason University because of you all. I had the courage. I had the courage to get up on stage and sing in front of a ton of people in an auditorium like this. I was so scared because I didn't believe in myself. But when I got up and I went out there, you all had posters and signs saying, you better sing, girl, I love you. Because when we say, I want to be there for you, what you're saying is, Susan, you better give me an opportunity to show up for you, and I will. It's not just talk for most of us. When I say I love you and I want to help you, I will. I will.
Thank you.
So, please be there for the new person. Please be there for the one that's all dressed up like a dressed up garbage can. Please be there for the one that nobody will pick up anymore because they're sick of their ass. That's the one that's going to die. And just remember, this disease does not discriminate. It wants your life. So please, hug an old-timer. If you got 20 years clean, raise your hand. If you got a week clean, raise your hand. That's right. Go up and hug that person. I love you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Susan. Yes, let's give Susan B a hand. Thank you.